We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Away we go, episode 780 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Monday, March 11th, 2024. It is day one of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period. Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern is when the legal tampering can begin. The legal tampering period is the true start of NFL free agency, the actual official start of when NFL teams can officially make signings of unrestricted free agents from other teams is Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, but we by then will know a bunch of the deals off what is reported during the legal tampering period. Heck, we already know some of what's going down. Major breaking news late night on Sunday night, quarterback Russell Wilson will be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers once he is released by the Denver Broncos. Yeah, the Russ bus headed to the Berg. You know, my wife is a big Steelers fan. She's sleeping as I'm recording this at, what time is it? 1:40 a.m. Eastern on Monday. Should I wake her up to tell her that the Steelers are signing Russ? This is a big week in the NFL offseason, and the week is truly getting going with this legal tampering period. Legal tampering, an oxymoron type phrase, right? Legal tampering, oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp or humble brag or organized chaos. You get the idea. What will the 2024 legal tampering period bring for the Commanders? They are loaded with salary cap space for the upcoming league year. They are loaded with needs. The team has new ownership, a new front office, and a new coaching staff. The team has a lot of its players becoming unrestricted free agents this week. The team is coming off an atrocious 2023 season. The circumstances of this free agency are like no other in franchise history. Is our team going to be a big-time playa-playa in free agency? Hello and welcome to this Monday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Next segment, I'll give you three overarching thoughts about the Commanders in free agency as it begins, including the notable lack of moves by the team in terms of its many players who are becoming unrestricted free agents this week. I just talked about oxymoron-type phrases. Here's another one, deafening silence, as in deafening silence regarding the team signing any of its significant players who are becoming unrestricted free agents this week to contract extensions. What is that telling us about what general manager Adam Peters and company truly think about the team's roster? Also on the show, I'll discuss a very busy weekend in Washington, D.C. area sports. I will talk Capitals. They on Friday morning on what was a 2024 NHL trade deadline day traded center Evgeny Kuznetsov. The Kuzi ordeal for the Caps now is over. I have a lot to say about that. I'll also properly commemorate another win for the Caps, a 4-1 win, albeit over the NHL worst Chicago Blackhawks at Capital One Arena on Saturday night. But the Caps now are 7-2-1 over their last 10 games. I will talk Wizards, who, believe it or not, have a winning streak. Yes, an actual real-life winning streak. When we last left our tanking and rebuilding Wizards, they had tied their franchise record with a 16th consecutive regular season loss, but the Wizards over the weekend won two games. Friday night, a 112-100 win over the Charlotte Hornets at Capital One Arena, and Sunday evening, a 110-108 win at the Miami Heat. And I will talk college basketball as March Madness is here. This week is conference tournament week, although a good number of conference tournaments already have gotten going. But we, over the weekend, had regular season finales for Maryland, Georgetown, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. I'll discuss what went down. Maryland concluded a 7-13 regular season in the Big Ten with an 85-69 loss at Penn State on Sunday night. Georgetown concluded a 2-18 regular season in the Big East with an 86-78 loss at St. John's on Saturday afternoon. Virginia concluded a 13-7 regular season in the ACC with a 72-57 win over Georgia Tech at John Paul Jones Arena in Charlottesville, Virginia on Saturday night. And Virginia Tech concluded a 10-10 regular season in the ACC with an 82-76 win over Notre Dame at Castle Coliseum in Blacksburg, Virginia on Saturday afternoon. Could it be that zero teams from the Mid-Atlantic region will be making this year's NCAA tournament? Before we get to some feedback, the Orioles. A few things on them as their spring training in Sarasota, Florida continues. Manager Brandon Hyde, he had a session with reporters on Sunday morning, said what we had expected. Corbin Burnes will be the Orioles opening day starter. The Orioles regular season opener is on Thursday afternoon, March 28th, against the Los Angeles Angels at Oriole Park at Camden Yards at 3:05. Also, the consensus number one prospect in baseball, Orioles shortstop slash second baseman Jackson Holliday. He has hit his first home run of this exhibition season. He in an 11-6 win at the Toronto Blue Jays in Dunedin, Florida on Sunday afternoon, smashed a one-out grand slam on an 0-2 pitch in a five-run first. Now, Holliday stats this exhibition season aren't great, but it is a near certainty that he, this coming MLB regular season, will be making his Major League regular season debut. And the O's have multiple other well-regarded prospects who are having good exhibition seasons, including outfielder Colton Cowser and third baseman slash first baseman Kobe Mayo. And we on Friday evening had multiple reports that the sale of the O's to the group led by private equity billionaire David Rubenstein has been approved by an MLB ownership committee in what of several steps toward finalizing the sale. So the sale is not final, but a key step has been taken. These are good times if you are an O's fan. These are exciting times if you are an O's fan. Joe Angel, talk to me.
And the Orioles again in the win column.
All right. Thank you, Joe. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Email from Jeffrey Southworth on the Commanders potentially drafting Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, on whom we got great insight from NFL draft and college football analyst Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros on last Thursday's show, episode 778, writes Jeffrey, I hope all is well. Congrats on the sustained success. After Thursday's episode, I'm starting to drink the J.J. McCarthy Kool-Aid. We can review tape, review analysis, and go back and forth on footwork, and it's all relevant, sure, but even then, there's a JJ argument to be made. Whichever one of these young men who we pick to come into this situation is going to have the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he better be ready, and we better get this right. But after Thor's analysis, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, and the cup is filling fast. Oh, and I recently went to my first Caps game ever. It may have been the first game that I ever really watched. An A-plus experience. So fun. The energy is real. Too bad we got smoked by the Coyotes, though. thank you for the email, Jeffrey. Jeez, his first Caps game was that Coyotes game? That was arguably the Caps' worst game of the season. A 5-2 loss to the Arizona Coyotes, one of the worst teams in the NHL, at Capital One Arena now two Sunday afternoons ago, March 3rd. And yet still, Jeffrey had a good time at the game. That tells you something about the Caps' in-game experience. As for J.J. McCarthy, yeah, his stock is soaring. Thor Nystrom on last Thursday's show called J.J. McCarthy, quote, one of the better out-of-structure prospects that we have seen enter the NFL in the last decade, end quote. And ESPN NFL draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr., he said the following about McCarthy in relation to USC quarterback Caleb Williams, LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels, and North Carolina quarterback Drake May. This was Mel with Field Yates on ESPN's First Draft. This from the episode that came out this past Thursday, March 7th. Here you go.
I think Caleb won. Let's eliminate any discussion about Jaden maybe overtaking Caleb. I don't think that's happening. Jaden settles in two. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy is a battle. I think that's legitimate. I'm talking this morning to people before the show, and all I hear is J.J. McCarthy.
Wow.
J.J. McCarthy is so smart, so tough, athletic. He almost, because of what he was protected in doing, because they didn't let him carry the offense, has benefited from that because it adds some mystery to it. He's kind of old school quarterback. You know, he didn't have been throw it 40, 50 times. It wasn't on him just throwing all these bubble screens and all over the place. Bottom line is J.J. McCarthy could overtake Drake May. Could possibly. Yeah. Oh, it looks like Field. I am 12 to Denver. People look say, he's going to top 10. Somebody maybe Jim Harbaugh trades off of 5. You guys were talking about a trade Field, I know, with the Chargers, right? And others were talking about a trade, Jordan Reed. And maybe they do. Maybe Jim allows somebody to jump up and get his quarterback.
So Mel Kiper Jr. saying that J.J. McCarthy could overtake Drake May. Boy, the opinions on May and Jaden Daniels continue to be all over the place. Email from Michael King on the Wizards, of them snapping their franchise record tying 16-game regular season losing streak, writes Mike. I was really hoping that the Wiz would lose on Friday night because it would have been exceedingly appropriate for the longest losing streak in team history to belong to the biggest loser owner in town, Ted Leonsis. I feel really bad for Ted. I thought that he was going to earn another feather in his cap. Really a shame. People are moving more and more to my way of thinking on this, Al. Feel free to climb on board yourself. Have a great day. Always listening. Best show anywhere. Well, thank you for the email, Mike. To be clear, my stance on the founder, chairman, principal partner, and CEO of Monumental Sports and Entertainment, Ted Leonsis, is as follows. As owner of the Capitals, he has been acceptable. As owner of the Wizards, he has been bad. To me, you have to differentiate the two. Ted has had full control of the Caps since the spring of 1999, has had full control of the Wizards since June 2010. There are nits to pick with Ted's ownership of the Caps, but things with the Caps during his ownership of that team have been so much better than things with the Wizards during his ownership of that team. The Caps have made the Stanley Cup playoffs in 17 of Ted's 23 full seasons owning the team. Haven't won nearly enough playoff series, but of course won the 2018 Stanley Cup title. I don't think that it's fair to say that Ted has been a terrible owner of the Caps. Plenty of NHL teams would love to have done what the Caps have done during his time owning the team. The Wizards, yeah, a much different story. Well, the Bullets/Wizards have not advanced past the second round of the NBA playoffs since 1979. That also is the year in which the great law firm of Paulson & Nace was founded. And Paulson & Nace, unlike the Wizards, continues to do great work. Paulson & Nace is a Washington, D.C.-based family law firm dedicated to promoting the rights of seriously injured persons and their families. Paulson & Nace handles medical malpractice, personal injury, birth injury, legal malpractice, and consumer protection cases, offering aggressive advocacy for victims in Washington, D.C. and West Virginia. If you have been harmed by the negligence of someone else, if someone who you care about has been harmed by the negligence of someone else, call Paulson & Nace at 202-902-7611. And when you call, make sure that you tell Paulson and Ace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson and Ace is widely respected throughout Washington, D.C. and West Virginia for the firm's accomplishments both in and out of courtrooms. In fact, Paulson and Ace was just named as part of U.S. News and World Report's Best Law Firms 2024 edition. And Chris Nace and Matt Nace specifically are dedicated and decorated trial attorneys. Chris Nace, last May, was named the 2023 Barry J. Nace Trial Lawyer of the Year, this by the D.C. Trial Lawyers Association. Chris, in July, was elected as the Parliamentarian of the American Association for Justice, and both Chris and Matt Nace in August were recognized by Best Lawyers in America for 2024. Why the accolades? Well, Paulson and Nace fights for you. Paulson and Nace has secured millions of dollars in verdict and settlement amounts for clients to better enable them to care for themselves and their families. If you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace. Call Paulson and Nace at 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. When you call, make sure that you tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. You can also visit PaulsonandNace.com. Just make sure that you tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson and Nace, if you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace. Hey, thank you to all of you who have given this podcast a 5-star rating and who have written nice reviews of the podcast. You on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify can rate the podcast. 5-star ratings are very much appreciated, and you on Apple Podcasts can write a review saying that you like the podcast. The review does not have to be long, can be just a sentence or two, but the ratings and the reviews help us out a lot, so thank you very much for doing them. Modern NFL free agency started with the 1993 offseason. Interestingly, and not so coincidentally, the decline of the Redskins started in the 1993 season. Contrary to what some say, the decline of the Skins did not start when Dan Snyder bought the team in May 1999. Dan's ownership of the team made things much worse, but the decline of the team started with the 1993 season, which was the Skins' first season off the first retirement of head coach Joe Gibbs. He, in March 1993, retired for the first time. The Skins, for their 6 seasons prior to Dan buying the team, 1993 through 1998, did not make the playoffs a single time. That first Gibbs retirement certainly was a reason for the decline of the Skins. The Skins' bad drafting in the 1990s was a reason for the decline of the Skins. But the truth is that few NFL teams have handled modern NFL free agency worse than Washington has. We in the 1990s, in the pre-Dan era, had plenty of free agent flops by the Skins. Edge defender Al Noga, receiver Alvin Harper, interior defensive lineman Dana Stubblefield. We all know about the reckless and bad free agent spending by Dan in his first decade as Skins owner, but the team even since then has not had a lot of success in free agency. Reckless Dan was in effect for the 2000 through 2009 off seasons. Then came the hiring of Bruce Allen as executive vice president slash general manager in December 2009 and the hiring of Mike Shanahan as executive vice president slash head coach in January 2010. Washington, since then, has been a much more modest spender in free agency, but name me the big-time free agent hits by Washington in free agency over the 2010 through 2023 off-seasons. There just have not been that many free agent hits for Washington during that time. Receiver Pierre Garçon in March 2012 proved to be a free agent hit for the Skins. Receiver DeSean Jackson in April 2014 proved to be a free agent hit for the Skins. Actually, the Skins in the 2020 offseason, their first with Ron Rivera as head coach, made a number of short-term, low-money free agent signings that worked out. Corner Ronald Darby, tight end Logan Thomas, running back J.D. McKissick, offensive lineman Cornelius Lucas, and Wes Schweitzer. But this post-reckless Dan era has not been much better for Washington in terms of free agent hits as compared to the reckless Dan era was. And remember, the reckless Dan era did include some hits. The Skins 2004 offseason featured the free agent signings of interior defensive lineman Cornelius Griffin, linebacker Marcus Washington, and corner Sean Springs. That actually was a nice free agent class. The Skins 2007 offseason featured the free agent signing of linebacker London Fletcher, one of the best free agent signings in team history. But all of that is in the past. What about the present? What about the now? Are the Commanders, as free agency for the NFL's 2024 offseason is beginning, about to truly start doing well in free agency? It is on Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern that we have the start of the NFL's legal tampering period, which is when NFL teams can contact and conduct contract negotiations with certified agents of external players who will become unrestricted free agents upon the start of the new league year. The legal tampering period lasts until Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, which marks the start of the new league year, and the new league year is when the signings of unrestricted free agents from other teams can become official, and when trades can become official. Trades have not been allowed to be officially made since the NFL trade deadline this past Halloween, when the Commanders, of course, traded edge defenders Montez Sweat and Chase Young. Speaking of Chase, by the way, the NFL on Friday officially announced the compensatory picks for the 2024 NFL draft. The 2024 third-round comp pick that the Commanders got from the San Francisco 49ers for Chase Young is the number 99 overall pick. Yes, Chase is number 99, and the Commanders for him got pick number 99. And so, the order for the 2024 draft now is official. There has been some confusion about exactly where the Commanders' many picks in the 2024 draft fall. Here is the official roll call of Commanders' picks in the 2024 draft. Number 2, number 36, number 40, number 67, number 99, number 101, number 138, number 178, and number 222. So the Commanders have six of the first 101 picks in the 2024 draft. That is tremendous. Our team also has the most salary cap space for the upcoming league year. The Commanders, per overthecap.com, for this upcoming league year, as of Sunday afternoon, are set to have the most cap space in the NFL at $91.542 million, and the most effective cap space in the NFL at $80.786 million. The Commanders this offseason are loaded with draft capital and cap space. That is the kind of combination that can lead to a great offseason. The key, of course, is making great moves. Will the team's new football operations regime be making great moves this offseason? Let us hope. I have three overarching thoughts about the Commanders in free agency as it begins. Thought number one. If ever there was an offseason for Washington to take some big swings in free agency, this offseason would appear to be it. Now, my philosophy with NFL free agency is simple. The real value for NFL teams in free agency is in the second and third waves, not in the first wave. The first wave of NFL free agency, i.e. the first few days of NFL free agency, is a sucker's game in which so many players are signed to big money contracts that end up not working out for teams. One of the funniest things to me about the NFL offseason is that we, in the days leading up to free agency, have teams releasing players, quite a few of whom were signed by those teams to big money free agent contracts that did not work out for the teams. But then just a few days later, we have NFL teams signing players to big money free agent contracts, many of which will not work out for those teams. It is a cycle that does not stop. And so the real value for NFL teams in free agency is in the second and third waves. See that 2020 Skins free agent class, which featured a number of hits in the second and third waves. Ronald Darby, Logan Thomas, J.D. McKissic, Cornelius Lucas, and Wes Schweitzer. However, all of that said, it's not like big money NFL free agent signings never work out. There are those that do. For example, the Atlanta Falcons last March signed safety Jesse Bates III as an unrestricted free agent to a reported four-year, $64 million contract with $36 million fully guaranteed. That's a big-money contract for a safety. Bates made the Associated Press All-Pro second team for the 2023 season. I wonder if the Commanders' new general manager, Adam Peters, given the team's ample cap space and given the team's many needs, might take some big swings in free agency this offseason. Now, he shouldn't take big swings just to take big swings, but if he really likes a free agent and the guy fits a need but is costly, I don't think that it's unreasonable to say that Peters should go after the guy. Free agency is the opposite of the NFL draft in that free agency is entirely about need. The NFL draft, to me, is about best player available. Drafting for need gets a team in trouble because a team's needs are constantly changing. Free agency, however, is all about need, and the Commanders have many needs. Maybe the team's biggest need is edge defender. Well, among those set to be unrestricted free agents this week is Minnesota Vikings edge defender Danielle Hunter. He was taken by the Vikings in the third round of the 2015 draft out of LSU. He is entering his age 30 season, but he in six of the last seven seasons played in every regular season game for the Vikings. He, for the 2023 regular season, had 16 and a half sacks. He, over the last two regular seasons, for Pro Football Focus, had 163 pressures, ranking number seven among all qualified edge defenders during that span. He figures to cost a lot of money, but if Adam Peters and head coach Dan Quinn and defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. really like Danielle Hunter as a fit for what the team wants to do defensively, well, the team certainly has the resources to get Danielle Hunter. And speaking of what Peters and Quinn and Witt want to do, my second overarching thought about the Commanders in free agency as it begins, we don't know what the team's new football operations regime wants to do, but what it does do in free agency will be telling. It feels futile to identify free agent targets for the Commanders because we don't know what exactly the team is looking to do offensively and defensively, nor do we know which free agents the regime views as fits for what the team is looking to do offensively and defensively. We can all look up who the top NFL free agents this offseason are. We can all figure out connections between certain NFL free agents this offseason and the Commanders' new football ops regime, but we have no idea what the regime truly thinks about these players. You know, there are some Dallas Cowboys players set to be unrestricted free agents this week who've come up as potential Commanders targets given that Dan Quinn spent the last three seasons as the Cowboys defensive coordinator and that Joe Witt Jr. spent the last three seasons as the Cowboys secondary coach and defensive passing game coordinator. Corners Stephon Gilmore and Jordan Lewis, edge defender Dorrance Armstrong. Maybe Quinn and Witt really love Gilmore, Lewis, and or Armstrong. Then again, maybe not. You know, we don't know. We do know, though, that what the Commanders do in free agency, both in terms of who the team adds and who the team re-signs, will tell us a lot about what the new football ops regime thinks about the true needs of the team and about the players who have been here. And speaking of them, my third overarching thought about the Commanders in free agency as it begins, it is notable that the Commanders' new football ops regime has been in place for weeks now. The team has all of this cap space. The team has a truckload of significant players who are set to be unrestricted free agents this offseason. And yet the team, during this time of negotiating exclusivity, has not re-signed a single one of these players. The Commanders have so many players who are set to be unrestricted free agents this week. Among them, on defense, corner Kendall Fuller, safeties Cameron Curl and Jeremy Reeves, linebackers Cody Barton and Kalik Hudson, edge defenders James Smith-Williams, Casey Tuhill, and F.A. Obada. On offense, receivers Curtis Samuel, Jamison Crowder, and Byron Pringle, quarterback Jacoby Brissett, running back Antonio Gibson, offensive tackle Cornelius Lucas, guard Sadiq Charles, center Tyler Larson. On special teams, Joey Sly. The team officially hired Adam Peters as general manager on January 15th, nearly 2 months ago. The team officially hired Dan Quinn as head coach on February 3rd, more than a month ago. And yet the team has not signed a single one of these significant pending unrestricted free agents to a contract extension. And of course, the team did not tag any of these guys. What does that say about what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn think about these pending unrestricted free agents? Do you remember the pause? We on January 16th had the introductory press conference for Adam Peters as Commanders General Manager. The funniest and perhaps most telling moment in the presser was his answer about what he thinks about the Commanders' current roster. This cracked me up. Here was the exchange in its entirety.
Adam, David Aldridge with The Athletic. Welcome to D.C. I wonder what you think of the current roster.
I believe that there's a few cornerstone pieces in this roster. I believe we have a lot of work to do, and that's just evaluating everybody. And that's going to start with the coaches. When the coaches come in, we hire a head coach. We sit down together with the personnel department, and we sit down and evaluate everything and figure out where we need to be. So that's an ongoing process. I've started a little bit, but we have a lot of work to do, David.
All right, so Adam Peters was asked about what he thinks about the Commanders' current roster. He provided a lengthy pause and then began his answer by saying, quote, "I believe that there's a few cornerstone pieces in this roster. I believe we have a lot of work to do," end quote. Now, to be fair, the lengthy pause may well have been Adam Peters wanting to formulate a proper answer in which he did not give off any true tells about what he thought about the current roster, as opposed to the lengthy pause being due to him disliking the current roster so much, and him saying that, quote, "I believe we have a lot of work to do," end quote. That may have been more about the work of hiring the head coach and evaluating the roster with the head coach, as opposed to the work of getting rid of a bunch of players and bringing in a bunch of new players. But all of that said, yeah, that answer did come across as Adam Peters not being the world's biggest fan of the Commanders' current roster. I mean, that pause alone stood out. Take a listen.
"I wonder what you think of the current roster."
Yeah, that pause, by my count, was 3.3 seconds. A 3.3-second pause, a pause that was nearly the length of a 40 time at the NFL scouting combine. That pause may have been very telling, given that the Commanders are entering free agency without having re-signed any of their many significant players who are set to be unrestricted free agents this week. Now, maybe the Commanders will end up re-signing a good number of these players, but you know, if a team really likes a player who is about to become an unrestricted free agent, the team should re-sign the guy before he enters unrestricted free agency, because once a player hits the open market, the likelihood of him re-signing with his most recent team plummets. The advantage that the Commanders have had for weeks is negotiating exclusivity with the team's many players who are set to be unrestricted free agents this offseason, and yet the team has not re-signed any of its significant players who are set to be unrestricted free agents this week. This as a number of other NFL teams in recent days have agreed on contract extensions with key players who were set to be unrestricted free agents this week. We late night on Saturday night had the big breaking news of the Kansas City Chiefs having agreed on a big money contract extension with interior defensive lineman Chris Jones. We on Sunday afternoon had multiple reports of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers having agreed on a contract extension with quarterback Baker Mayfield. Well, Adam Peters may not be a huge fan of the Commanders roster from this past season, but we are big fans of Nova Fireplace and Stove, and it has a great offer for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. If you live in Northern Virginia and you have a masonry fireplace, listen up. You can get an in-stock wood insert at an extremely discounted price, just $8,000 plus tax. The usual price is $9,000 plus tax. So this is a 33% discount, and the $6,000 plus tax includes installation, permit, and county/city inspection. And you can get a government-funded tax credit as well, up to $2,000, dropping the price to just $4,000, all things considered, if you live in Northern Virginia and you have a masonry fireplace. Call Nova Fireplace and Stove, 571-513-3803. Talk to my guy, Stuart Moore. He is the general manager. He's a big Commanders fan. He's a loyal listener of this podcast. Mention that Al Galdi sent you and get this exceptional deal on an in-stock wood insert. Again, 33% off. A site visit is required, but this is an outstanding deal. A standard masonry fireplace is only about 10% efficient, but a wood insert is over 70% efficient. A wood insert installed into a masonry fireplace elongates the burn time of your logs. This is a great way to heat your home and save money on heating your home. Visit NovaFireplaceAndStove.com to check out customer reviews of Nova Fireplace and Stove, but call Nova Fireplace and Stove, 571-513-3803, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. That's Nova Fireplace and Stove, 571-513-3803, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, the Capitals on Monday night are beginning a stretch of 3 games in 4 days and are beginning a stretch of 5 consecutive road games, but the Caps are beginning these stretches playing well. The Caps are 7-2-1 over their last 10 games, including a win in their lone game over the weekend, a 4-1 win over the NHL worst Chicago Blackhawks at Capital One Arena on Saturday night. The Caps for this regular season now are 30-23-9 and are fifth in the 8-team Metropolitan Division at 69 points. It is hard to feel confident in the Caps making the Stanley Cup playoffs this season, but the Caps are remaining in postseason contention. More on that win over the Blackhawks in a bit, but we on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern had the 2024 NHL trade deadline, and the Caps leading up to the deadline ultimately made 3 trades. So the Caps last Tuesday evening traded winger Anthony Mantha to the Vegas Golden Knights for a second round pick in the 2024 NHL draft and a fourth round pick in the 2026 NHL draft. And the Caps, as part of that trade, retained 50% of Mantha's salary. The Caps last Thursday morning traded defenseman Joel Edmondson to the Toronto Maple Leafs for a third round pick in the 2024 NHL draft and a fifth round pick in the 2025 NHL draft. And the Caps, as part of that trade, retained 50% of Edmondson's salary. And the Caps This past Friday morning, traded center Evgeny Kuznetsov to the Carolina Hurricanes for a third-round pick in the 2025 NHL draft, and the Caps, as part of that trade, retained 50% of Kuznetsov's salary, as in for both the rest of this season and the entirety of next season. You see, Mantha and Edmondson are set to be unrestricted free agents this coming offseason. Kuznetsov is not. This season is the next to last season of the 8-year, $62.4 million contract to which the Caps re-signed Kuznetsov in July 2017. More on the Kuznetsov trade in moments, but two takeaways from what the Caps did in the lead-up to this season's NHL trade deadline. A, the Caps, interestingly, did not trade winger Max Pacioretty, who is set to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason and is in his age 35 season, although his contract with the Caps reportedly has a no-movement clause, i.e. a no-trade clause. B, what the Caps did in the lead-up to this season's NHL trade deadline was, in fact, in line with them engaging in a retool as opposed to a rebuild. But yeah, Evgeny Kuznetsov is gone, traded for a mere third-round pick, and not until the 2025 NHL draft, and he was traded to a division rival in the Hurricanes, and the Caps are retaining 50% of the rest of his contract. This trade was as much of an unloading as you'll ever see, and thus ends the saga of the Caps and Evgeny Kuznetsov. The Caps took Kuznetsov with the number 26 overall pick in the 2010 NHL draft. But because Kuznetsov was playing in the KHL in his native Russia, he did not play for the Caps at the NHL level until March 2014. We, as Caps fans, waited with anticipation for the arrival of Kuznetsov to the NHL for years. He was not a true impact player for the Caps until the 2015-2016 NHL season, but he then became a terrific center for the Caps, including leading them in points during the 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs, which, as you may have heard, resulted in the Caps winning the Stanley Cup. Maybe the best win of that Caps run to the Cup was the 2-1 overtime win at the Pittsburgh Penguins in Eastern Conference Semis Game 6 to advance to the Eastern Conference Final. That win came courtesy of Evgeny Kuznetsov's game-winning goal, 5:27 into overtime. What a moment that was. But then came the problems. We had the Caps' then-head coach, Todd Reirden, on Super Bowl Sunday 2019, benching Kuznetsov for part of a 1-0 Caps loss to the Boston Bruins at Capital One Arena for his continued committing of minor penalties. We had the 2019 cocaine controversy, which resulted in the NHL suspending Kuznetsov without pay for the Caps' first three games of the 2019-2020 regular season for, quote, inappropriate conduct, end quote. We had what came out in March 2023 that Kuznetsov wanted out. Match TV of Russia on March 25th, 2023 reported that Kuznetsov via his agent had requested to be traded, and the request per the report was not new, as Kuznetsov had previously asked to be traded. Additionally, Caps insider Tarek El-Bashir in a mailbag column for The Athletic that came out on March 21st, 2023 wrote that, quote, Caps decision makers are disappointed in Kuznetsov's season, end quote, and that, quote, trust is broken, end quote, between the Caps and Kuznetsov. And then we had this season. We had Caps head coach Spencer Carberry for the Caps 6-0 loss at the Arizona Coyotes this past December 4th, having Kuznetsov as a healthy scratch. We had Carberry for several games this season using Kuznetsov as a winger as opposed to a center just to get him going. We had the NHL and the NHL Players Association this past February 5th announcing that Kuznetsov would be unavailable for the Caps for an indefinite period while he received care from the Player Assistance Program of the NHL and the NHLPA. We then had the Caps on March 2nd putting Kuznetsov on waivers, him clearing waivers, and then the Caps on March 3rd announcing that they had loaned Kuznetsov to their AHL affiliate, the Hershey Bears, and now we have the Caps having traded Kuznetsov. such a talented player, such a frustrating player, such an enigmatic player. Caps president of hockey operations and general manager Brian McClellan did a press conference on Friday afternoon. I'm going to play the first 3 minutes and change of the presser. You'll hear multiple exchanges with Caps insider Tarek El-Bashir of Monumental Sports Network, and also exchanges with Ben Raby, studio host for the Capitals Radio Network, and Caps insider Stephen Wino of the Associated Press. Here you go.
Can we start with Cousy?
Sure.
You know, when did you see the possibility of maybe trading him for an asset?
I think, you know, we had numerous conversations with Carolina about possibilities on how it might look, and it evolved over 4 or 5 days into what happened today.
So did it start after you waived him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think waving him was, the idea behind waving him was to generate something, some kind of change. So it ended up happening to go to Carolina.
Because then the rest of the league knows that you might be willing to.
Yes, exactly. Gotcha. Not you can't do it verbally, but everybody gets a better understanding of where we're at.
Well, were there other teams sniffing around, or was Carolina?
No, I think Carolina was the main one.
Okay.
Let's give that just up. Follow up on Kuznetsov, everything he had been through with the team, the high of 2018, inconsistencies, etc. But what a player in terms of franchise history. A couple of minutes here, can you put in perspective kind of what he meant to this team and having to turn the page after a difficult...
Yeah, I mean, he means a lot. You know, the goal, I mean, everybody's going to remember the goal, the championship, the play in the playoffs. I mean, he's a fun guy. He's entertaining. Skill level and skating were off the charts. He's been he's provided entertainment for our fans. He's done a great job for the organization. You know, we're going to miss him. I mean, we tried everything we could at the end to get it back on track, and unfortunately, this is where we ended up.
Moving on from Kuznetsov before Lars Eller, Penguins are doing this with Jake Gensel. How hard is it kind of emotionally to know that it's the right move to do for your hockey team to kind of reset and kind of move forward while also having these links to your team?
Yeah, I think it's hard. I mean, it's, especially when you win together, you don't want to... I mean, there's a connection emotionally from the fans, from management, from coaches, and you just don't want to let that go. And then sometimes it's just circumstances, you know, create a situation where you have to move on. There's a business, there's a cap, there's money, there's aging, there's all these things that come into it. And I think any organization would have trouble letting go players that are popular and that have been successful, you've been successful with.
Any concern on trading him within the division? Is that a real thing, or is that just something fans and media talk?
No, I mean, I just... in this situation, no, because I think it's you want him to have a good opportunity so he can continue his career and get back on track. And we're not at the same spot as Carolina, where we're trying to get younger and develop some young guys, and you know they're adding to their group. So it's just a different. It should be a win-win for everybody.
All right, so Brian McClellan very much taking the high road in discussing Evgeny Kuznetsov. That's what Brian should have done, but there clearly were major problems between the Caps and Kuznetsov. There would seem to be a lot with this situation that has not come out, and it's a shame that Kuznetsov's time with the Caps ended up going as it did. You know, this season is his age 31 season. It's not like he can't still be a very productive player in the NHL, but him being a very productive player again for the Caps did not seem likely anymore. As for the Caps' 4-1 win over the NHL worst Chicago Blackhawks at Capital One Arena on Saturday night, nice win for the Caps. They held a 4-0 lead at the end of the second period, and this came off the Caps' 6-0 win at the Pittsburgh Penguins this past Thursday night, and so the Caps scored 10 consecutive goals in a regular season for just the 13th time in franchise history, and for the first time since December 2018. Charlie Lindgren on Saturday night was the Caps' starting goaltender for the 17th time in 23 games, and he was great for a second consecutive game. He stopped 31 of the 32 shots on goal that he faced this off in that 6-0 win at the Penguins this past Thursday night, stopping all 39 of the shots on goal that he faced. Lindgren on Saturday night per Natural Stat Trick stopped 6 of the 7 high danger shots on goal that he faced, stopped all 6 of the medium danger shots on goal that he faced, and stopped all 18 of the low danger shots on goal that he faced. The Caps won 4-1 despite having 26 shots on goal to the Blackhawks 32, and despite per Natural Stat Trick having 31 5-on-5 shot attempts to the Blackhawks 46. The Blackhawks rookie sensation center Connor Bedard, who the Blackhawks took with the number one overall pick in the 2023 NHL draft, and who is in just his age 18 season. He on Saturday night had no points, although he did have a game-high tying 5 shots on goal and a game-high 16 total shot attempts. Also, the Caps' number 2 goaltender for this game was Darcy Kuemper, this off him having been unavailable for the Caps' win at the Penguins due to illness. So the Caps on Saturday afternoon announced having loaned goaltender Hunter Shepard to their AHL affiliate, the Hershey Bears, off on Thursday afternoon having announced having recalled Shepard from Hershey. But here was Spencer Carberry during his postgame press conference on Saturday night on Charlie Lindgren.
He stepped up big time, and to be put in the game in Pitt, right? Darcy's supposed to start that game, excuse me. He gets called in the morning of the game, okay? Posts a shutout there, we play fantastic, and then he does the same thing tonight, essentially. I know they get the one, but to take that game, and then, you know, Darcy didn't skate for a few days, so he's going to start again, Chucky. Because of the way that he played, and because Darce hasn't skated in a few days being sick. And yeah, he's early on in the year. I know there was a stretch, call it what it was, where he kind of came back down to normal goaltending, you would call it, because he was so stellar early in the year, and now he's right back to that form.
Yeah, good game for the Caps on special teams on Saturday night. The Caps went 4-of-4 on the penalty kill and 1-of-4 on the power play. Third line right wing Tom Wilson scored a power play goal 13:36 into the first period, and he had a team high 4 shots on goal, and he had a team high 6 total shot attempts, and he was number 1 on the Caps in 5-on-5 shot attempt percentage for the game per Natural Stat Trick at 52.63. The Caps with Wilson on the ice in 5-on-5 situations in the game had 10 shot attempts versus allowing 9 shot attempts. He did commit 2 third period minor penalties, a slashing minor and a tripping minor, but Wilson was good, and the Caps power play lately has been great. The Caps now have scored at least 1 power play goal in each of their last 7 games and in 10 of the team's last 11 games. Also going well is Sonny Milano. He on Saturday night served as the Caps' second line left wing, and he scored an even strength goal 17:24 into the second period, giving him a goal in each of his last 5 games and making him the first Caps player not named Alex Ovechkin with a regular season goal streak of at least 5 games since Tom Wilson in November 2018. Good production from the Caps top line on Saturday night. Top line left wing Alex Ovechkin. He had a secondary assist, 3 shots on goal and 4 total shot attempts. Top line center Hendrix LaPierre. He scored an even strength goal 7:01 into the first period and had 3 shots on goal. And top line right wing Alexi Protas. He had 2 assists, and also with 2 assists was defenseman John Carlson. 2 assists, a game high, 4 block shots, and a game best plus minus rating of +3. Next up for the Caps at the Winnipeg Jets Monday night at 7:30.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, go figure our Wizards. They off their franchise record-tying regular season losing streak now have their second winning streak of this NBA regular season. Two games for the Wizards over the weekend, two wins for the Wizards over the weekend. Friday night, a 112-100 win over the Charlotte Hornets at Capital One Arena as the Wizards snapped their 16-game losing streak, which was tied for the longest regular season losing streak in franchise history. Now, the Wizards ended the losing streak by beating the third worst team in the Eastern Conference in the Hornets, and the Hornets were without a key player in Seth Curry due to injury, in addition to remaining without multiple other key players in LaMelo Ball and Mark Williams due to injury. And the Wizards blew a 15-point second quarter lead, but they also overcame a 10-point fourth quarter deficit as they won the fourth quarter 44-24. Here was the final call, Dave Johnson and Glenn Consor on the Washington Wizards Radio Network.
Jordan Poole gets a rebound. Shot clock is off. The Hornets are not going to foul. Yes. Come on. You have to admit, if you're a Wizards fan, this feels so good.
Doesn't it feel nice and good?
112-100. This team has been working. And tonight, they are winning. The Wizards in the win column, 112-100. I love it. This is what it's all about. Fans are just happy.
The place is going bananas.
Yeah, just, you know, enjoy moments. And that's what it's all about. 112-100, our score.
All right, so that was Friday night. And then Sunday evening, a 110-108 win at the Miami Heat. You know the phrase, Heat culture? Well, Heat culture on Sunday evening got done dirty by Wizards culture. Now, the Heat was without Tyler Hero, Josh Richardson, and Kevin Love due to injury, but the Wizards were without their top two centers. Marvin Bagley III did not play for a third consecutive game due to what the team is calling a lower back spasm, and Rashawn Holmes did not play due to a sprained left big toe. You know, Holmes in that win over the Hornets on Friday night was very good. 36 minutes, 2 seconds as a starter. He went 5-for-5 from the field and 4-for-4 on free throws. Finished with 14 points, 11 rebounds, including 3 offensive boards, and a game-best plus-minus rating of plus 23. Also, the Wizards in this win at the Heat on Sunday evening overcame an 11-point second quarter deficit. So, the Wizards prior to the 16-game losing streak actually had a 2-game winning streak, and the Wizards now, after the 16-game losing streak, now have a 2-game winning streak. The Wizards for this regular season are 11-53, second worst record in the NBA. Some decent defense by the Wizards in these wins. Yes, Wizards interim head coach Brian Keefe, Chief Keefe. He got the Wizards to play some defense over the weekend. The win over the Hornets on Friday night. The Wizards defense was bad in the third quarter, but good in the other three quarters. The Wizards in the third quarter did allow the Hornets to score 31 points and go 5-for-11 on threes, but the Wizards over the other three quarters held the Hornets to just 69 points and just 4-for-31 on threes. And the win at the Heat on Sunday evening, the Wizards' defense was good on threes, was bad in the paint. The Wizards held the Heat to just 10 of 33 on threes, but did allow the Heat to score 62 points in the paint in going 31 of 56 in the paint. But again, the Wizards were without their top two centers. My favorite thing about the Wizards' weekend was the play of three recent first-round picks of the Wizards in the win at the Heat on Sunday evening. The Wizards, of course, are rebuilding and are tanking. What matters the most this season is the play of the Wizards' potential building blocks. And the potential building blocks on Sunday evening were quite good. Denny Avdija, who the Wizards took with the number 9 overall pick in the 2020 NBA draft, he on Sunday evening in 35 minutes, 29 seconds as a starter, went 1 of 4 on threes, 6 of 10 on twos, and 1 of 1 on free throws. He finished with 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 assists versus 2 turnovers. Denny also was good in that win over the Hornets on Friday night, 35 minutes, 3 seconds as a starter, 1 of 2 on threes, 7 of 12 on twos, did go just 1 of 3 on free throws, but he finished with 18 points, 14 rebounds, including 3 offensive boards, 2 blocks, and 2 assists versus 1 turnover. Corey Kispert, who the Wizards took with the number 15 overall pick in the 2021 NBA draft, he in the win at the Heat on Sunday evening, 39 minutes, 16 seconds as a starter, 5 of 10 on threes, 3 of 5 on twos, 1 of 2 on free throws. He finished with 22 points, 6 assists versus 2 turnovers, 5 rebounds, including 3 offensive boards, and a plus-minus rating of plus 12. And Bilal Coulibaly, who the Wizards got by the number 7 overall pick in the 2023 NBA draft, he in the win at the Heat on Sunday evening, 36 minutes, 19 seconds as a starter, 3 of 5 on threes, 1 of 3 on twos. He finished with 11 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and a game-best plus-minus rating of plus 17. The Wizards' offense in the game was mostly good. They went 16 of 39 on threes and 23 of 42 on twos and finished with 35 assists, did go just 16 to 22 on free throws, and did commit 15 turnovers. But regarding those 35 assists, Tyus Jones had 16 of them. Jones in 38 minutes, 11 seconds as a starter, 16 assists versus 1 turnover. He went 2 of 5 on threes and 3 of 4 on twos, also finished with 12 points and 4 rebounds. But Jones remains number 1 among all qualified NBA players in assist to turnover ratio for this regular season. That ratio now at 7.43. He has 468 assists versus just 63 turnovers. Also, Kyle Kuzma, he in the win at the Heat on Sunday evening, was the Wizards' leading scorer, although he did have an inefficient game, 38 minutes, 26 seconds as a starter. He went just 9 of 23 from the field, just 2 of 7 on threes and just 7 of 16 on twos. And he went just 12 of 16 on free throws, and he committed 4 turnovers, but he also finished with 32 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks. Kuzma in the win over the Hornets on Friday night, 39 minutes, 56 seconds as a starter. He went 0 of 7 on threes, but also 11 of 16 on twos and 6 of 6 on free throws. Finished with 28 points, 9 assists versus 2 turnovers, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a plus-minus rating of plus 21. That was a strange game for the Wizards offensively. They were horrible on threes, but good in the paint and good on free throws. So the Wizards went just 6 of 33 on threes, but outscored the Hornets in the paint 66-48 as the Wizards went 33-48 in the paint, and the Wizards went 20 of 23 on free throws. And yes, a two-game winning streak for the Wizards, and might we see a three-game winning streak? Next up for our Wizards, a game at the third worst team in the Western Conference, the Memphis Grizzlies, Tuesday night at 8. Well, let's talk college basketball. Could it be that zero teams from the Mid-Atlantic region make the 2024 NCAA tournament? That is possible. Selection Sunday is this Sunday, and what has been a, shall we say, not so great season for college basketball in the region could result in no teams from the region making this year's NCAA tournament. We shall see. Something that we do know is this: Maryland needs to win the Big Ten tournament in order to make this year's NCAA tournament. The Terrapins concluded a 2023-2024 regular season in which they went 15-16 overall and 7-13 in the Big Ten with an 85-69 loss at Penn State on Sunday night, an appropriate ending to a very disappointing regular season for the Terps. They, in the second half, trailed by just 2 points at 44-42. The Terps then allowed Penn State to win the rest of the game 41-27. The Terps' defense was good on threes, but bad in the paint. They held Penn State to just 6-20 on threes, but also allowed Penn State to go 24-42 on twos as the Terps got outscored in the paint 42-28. The Terps got ripped by former Maryland player and former Georgetown player Kudus Wahab. Remember him? Yeah, he's still around. The 6'11 Nigerian, 30 minutes as a starter. He went 7 of 10 from the field, all twos, and 5 of 5 on free throws. He finished with 19 points, 15 rebounds, including 5 offensive boards, 2 blocks, 2 steals, and 2 assists versus 2 turnovers. Andy was a big part of the Terps getting out-rebounded by Penn State 47-26, including having just 7 offensive rebounds to Penn State's 14, and thus just 6 second-chance points to Penn State's 16. Also, the Terps shooting was not good. They went just 7 of 27 on threes, just 15 of 31 on twos, and just 18 of 25 on free throws as a big-time problem for the Terps this season. Their offense was, again, a problem. 6'1 point guard Jameer Young, he had 30 minutes as a starter, went just 4 of 14 from the field, 0 of 5 on threes, just 4 of 9 on twos. He did go 8 of 9 on free throws and did finish with 16 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists versus 3 turnovers and 3 steals. Next up for the Terps is the 2024 Big Ten tournament, which is taking place from this Wednesday, March 13th, through this Sunday, March 17th, at the Target Center in Minneapolis. The Terps in the Big Ten tournament are the number 12 seed. They will face number 13-seeded Rutgers Wednesday evening at 6:30. Meantime, Georgetown, a fitting end to the Hoyas 2023-2024 regular season, an 86-78 loss at St. John's on Saturday afternoon, concluding a regular season in which the Hoyas went 9-22 overall and 2-18 in the Big East, a third consecutive wretched season for Georgetown men's basketball. The Hoyas' final two seasons with Patrick Ewing as head coach were horrible, and the Hoyas' first season with Ed Cooley as head coach has been horrible. The Hoyas allowed St. John's to begin the game on a 10-0 run. The Hoyas did overcome that 10-point first-half deficit, kept the game close for much of the second half, but ultimately trailed for the entire second half. The Hoyas' defense, again, not good. They allowed St. John's to score 86 points, allowed St. John's to go 5 of 13 on threes and 24 of 35 on twos as the Hoyas got outscored in the paint 42-24, and the Hoyas allowed St. John's to generate 32 free throw attempts, although the Red Storm went just 23 of 32 on free throws. So things could have been even worse for the Hoyas. They, for this season, as of games through Saturday, were number 323 out of 362 teams in Division I men's basketball and KenPom.com's adjusted defensive efficiency, which is points allowed per 100 possessions adjusted for opponents. And the Hoyas' offense on Saturday afternoon was mixed. The Hoyas were good on threes, 12 of 24 on threes and 12 of 12 on free throws, but the Hoyas went just 15 of 35 on twos and committed 15 turnovers. 6'2 Illinois transfer Jaden Epps, 38 minutes as a starter, just 1 of 7 on threes, and he committed 5 turnovers. Did also go 8 of 16 on twos and 4 of 4 on free throws, and did also finish with 23 points, 6 steals, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. Epps went just 1 of 7 on threes. The rest of the Hoyas went 11 of 17 on threes. But the defense, a bit of a problem for the Hoyas this season. Next up for Georgetown is the Big East Tournament, which is taking place from this Wednesday, March 13th, through this Saturday, March 16th, at Madison Square Garden in New York City. 42nd consecutive year that the Big East Tournament is happening at MSG. The Hoyas are not the bottom seed in the tournament. DePaul is. So the Hoyas are the number 10 seed. They will face number 7-seeded Providence Wednesday evening around 6:30. Virginia, it concluded its regular season with a nice win. A 72-57 win over Georgia Tech at John Paul Jones Arena in Charlottesville, Virginia on Saturday night. The Cavaliers in their 2023-2024 regular season went 22-9 overall and 13-7 in the ACC. The Cavs on Saturday night led by at least 9 points for all of the second half. The Cavs' three-point defense was really good, though their interior defense was shaky. They held Georgia Tech to just 4 of 21 on threes, but also allowed Georgia Tech to go 17 of 31 on twos. The Cavs had problems with 6'9 freshman Bai Ndongo. They allowed him in 31 minutes, 58 seconds as a starter to go 8 of 12 from the field, all twos, and 5 of 6 on free throws, and finished with 21 points and 9 rebounds, including 5 offensive boards. However, he did have no assists versus 5 turnovers, and the Wahoos offense was good. They scored 72 points, went 12 of 26 on threes, and 17 of 30 on twos, and finished with 18 assists versus just 5 turnovers. So the Hoos won by 15 points, despite generating just 4 free throw attempts the entire game. The Hoos went just a 2 of 4 on free throws. 49 of UVA's 72 points came from just 3 players: Reese Beekman, Isaac McNeely, and Tane Murray. 6-3 Reese Beekman, terrific game. 35 minutes, 23 seconds as a starter. 3 of 4 on threes, 5 of 6 on twos. Did go just 2 of 4 on free throws, but he finished with 21 points, 9 assists versus 1 turnover, 6 rebounds, and 3 steals. Here was UVA head coach Tony Bennett during his postgame press conference on Saturday night on Reese Beekman, a senior who shined on senior night for his team.
I thought Reese, once again, you look at his stat line, 8 for 10, 3 for 4 from 3, 21 and 9, really good. And I want to say this. A lot of stuff gets talked about the state of college basketball. Well, let's celebrate a guy like Reese Beekman, who came to Virginia and he stayed 4 years. He tested, he went, but he decided to come back and help a team win. And he's always been a good player, but he's taken a step each year, and he's improved, and he's been here for 4 years. And let's talk about that. I know we talk a lot about transfer portal. I know we talk a lot about NIL. I know we talk a lot about things, but this young man chose to come here. He's a leading career leader in steals. He's won 2 ACC championships. He's done so much, and that's what's right, and it's good to see.
Yes, it is. High praise from Tony Bennett for Reese Beekman. Deserved praise. 6'4 Isaac McNeely, he in 34 minutes, 56 seconds as a starter, went 4 of 8 on threes and 2 of 4 on twos. He finished with 16 points, 3 assists versus 1 turnover and 3 rebounds. And 6'5 Tane Murray from New Zealand, he in 28 minutes, 23 seconds off the bench, went 2 of 5 on threes and 3 of 5 on twos, finished with 12 points, 3 assists versus no turnovers and a game best plus minus rating of plus 13. We have the ACC tournament, which is taking place from this Tuesday, March 12th, through this Saturday, March 16th, at, yes, Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. Virginia is the number 3 seed and thus has a double bye. So UVA's first game in the ACC tournament won't be until the quarterfinals. And that game will be happening on Thursday night around 9:30. Going to be very interesting to see how UVA does in the ACC tournament. UVA in its 2023-2024 regular season went 15-2 at home versus just 7-7 away from home, and each of the 7 losses away from home was by at least 16 points. And let's make this clear, UVA likely needs a decent showing in the ACC tournament in order to get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. Virginia Tech, in order to get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, likely needs a deep run in the ACC tournament. The Hokies for the 2024 ACC tournament are the number 8 seed seed. They will face number 9-seeded Florida State Wednesday at noon. Tech concluded its regular season with an 82-76 win over Notre Dame at Castle Coliseum in Blacksburg, Virginia on Saturday afternoon. The Hokies, for their 2023-2024 regular season, went 18-13 overall and 10-10 in the ACC. They, on Saturday afternoon, blew a 10-point first-half lead, but led for the entire second half. Tech won despite going just 7 of 29 on threes and allowing Notre Dame to go 7 of 17 on threes, and won despite getting outscored in the paint 42-38. But the Hokies had 15 offensive rebounds to Notre Dame's 5 and thus 17 second chance points to Notre Dame's 8. And Tech did this despite 6'10 center Lynn Kidd not playing due to a hamstring injury. 58 of the Hokies' 82 points came from just three players: Sean Padula, MJ Collins, and Tyler Nichol. 6'1 point guard Sean Padula, he in 35 minutes, 41 seconds as a starter, went 0 of 5 on threes and had no assists versus three turnovers, but he also went 12 of 16 on twos and 4 of 5 on free throws. He finished with 28 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. 6'4 MJ Collins, he in 38 minutes, 22 seconds as a starter, went 3 of 7 on threes, 1 of 3 on twos, and 4 of 5 on free throws. He finished with 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists versus no turnovers and 2 steals. And 6'7 North Carolina transfer Tyler Nichol, he in 28 minutes, 35 seconds off the bench, went 2 of 5 on threes, 2 of 4 on twos, and 5 of 5 on free throws. He finished with 15 points and 4 rebounds. Collins and Nichol went a combined 5 of 12 on threes. The rest of Tech's players went just 2 of 17 on threes. Virginia Tech and Virginia, each team has plenty of work to do in the ACC tournament in D.C. this week. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Tuesday show, episode 781. We'll have plenty for you on the Commanders off day one of the NFL's legal tampering period this offseason. Also on Tuesday's show, I'll talk Capitals, who are at the Winnipeg Jets Monday night at 7:30. Have a great rest of your Monday, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
I wonder what you think of the current roster.